This is Due By Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, use two towels.
I never know how long to wait for call recorder.
I think, me neither. I've started watching for when it kicks in, and I feel like it's a little under 5 seconds, but... it really has taken the fun out of starting a podcast.
I think then I should really call you at 10:59:55.
I'm always here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll get on that. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean it that way. How you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. I was just telling Toby and our engineer Cameron that I'm like 75% sure Max is either in Vegas and or dead.
Mm. Things to do in Vegas when you're dead.
Mm-hmm. You're not on the instantaneous gram, but he seems to be hanging out with Matt King, which is the guy who eats goldfish. So,
Well, those are English words in a sequence.
See, but that's the problem, is that is an accurate, true sentence I said, and I wouldn't...
Matt Gold? No, Matt what?
Matt... Oh, maybe... Okay, wait. Did you two understand the sentence?
No. This is not a slam on you. I want to find the goldfish boy and see if he's good.
Mac King.
That's a terrible name. Mac King Goldfish.
M-A-C. Macintosh King.
Now, that sounds like I got to buy voices song.
Yeah.
Hilarious magician Matt King. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is he canceled because he eats animals?
Interesting question. I don't
know. It says here he extends his stay at Harrah's. Oh, he's a Las Vegas magic boy. Oh, him. Okay. All right. Oh, he kind of looks like a Tom Wolfe impersonator.
Oh, my God.
A little bit.
Can't unsee
it. No. Wait a minute. If Ken Jennings played a Tom Wolfe impersonator...
I can't unsee it. Wow.
Do you see it? Look at that. Look at that nose.
Oh, he is a delightful man. I'm wondering what... This is the show. This is... Hey, Jordan, Cameron, have I been entered? Wow, no one's looking at me. Never mind.
Oh, no. Are they rebelling?
None of them are looking at
me. The interns become self-aware?
Since Dad's gone, I guess I'm just here. Fine.
You're the Conrad Lorenz now. Gather them ducks, baby. Oh my goodness.
While we entertain this before, I'll text him.
No, it's all right. I got nowhere to be. It's boy, is it ever silly season.
I've noticed that. The first time in maybe 5 years, I don't know. Mm-hmm. This is gonna make me sound like I'm a happy person, but I texted the two of you and didn't get a response, and I was like, aw, no one's answering my text.
When?
And I was like, whoa. And like, you know, 2 seconds later, I'm like, of course not. Max is like, I'm literally like watching him play games with famous people, and Merlin has a child. And I just wanted to let...
When did you do this? When?
I don't remember. I just Recently? Wanted to let you know that you are appreciated. Oh. Again, it was like a 0.5 seconds, but I was like, oh, I cherish the relationship I have with my friends.
Oh, I do too. I cherish it much. I think about it a lot, how... I mean, I have text relationships with a handful of people on a daily basis. You guys are probably just about, because Max creates a lot of new groups.
Yes.
Sometimes Max gets on a little bit of a tear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he makes splinter tear off groups where, like, with an increasingly large or small number of people that I know that I'm included in. So, like, sometimes he puts things in this channel. First of all, my sense is you guys don't talk to each other except through this channel, because you talk a lot about things like buying camera lenses, and I say, do you need me for this?
I have maybe instigated this once.
See, you're being very touchy.
I am. Why are you so? Why are you so defensive? Why are you so defensive? I don't know. I'm getting
defensive?
A little shrill.
Why are you so defensive?
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you hate men. Why do you hate men? Just because we do all the crimes and make sex on you.
I mean, there were no Oxford commas in that manifesto, so I mean, that was upsetting. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you really noticed that. There's that one. There's the one with Jen that's about Survivor plus whatever Max wants to put there. Mm-hmm. There's one with Jen and Kevin that sometimes he puts things in there. So yeah, there's those. So really, you guys, there's one with my my wife and my daughter. John Syracuse pretty often. That's mostly my big ones. I text Roderick to see if he remembers we have a show literally every Monday at 10 a.m. Do a little jumping in with Todd. Boy, there's a lot with Max and you. Oh, I forgot about the one with Dr. Don. That's another one. Oh my God.
And there's the one that says the dream team, which I don't. Oh, that's
Kevin.
That's right. That's Kevin and Jennifer
Jen.
Kahn.
Jennifer Kahn. It's confusing though because you only get two faces. So yeah. I imagine if I'm seeing this, Max is seeing this, and this is probably why he puts random weird Twitter links, which he doesn't look at anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Random weird Twitter links could appear in any of these. CGP Gray. Here's a weird one. Here's a weird one with Dan Benjamin and Jason Finn from the Presidents of the USA. That's a very strange one.
That is interesting.
I think Jason has recently discovered the show and the inscrutability of Dan. So that's fun. Oh, there's another one with you too. What's that one? Sad Journal Comics Squad.
Oh, that's another
that's
one with
Kevin.
Kevin.
Okay. All right. Paul of Paul and Storm. There's Jen. There's you. Todd and John. That's a good one when it happens. Todd and Snell. Lift. just Kevin. Yeah. How do I still have any blank faces? I don't like the blank faces. Anyways, so I like that. And then of course Max started an entire Slack for some reason that I'm involved in. there's that. I enjoy these things, but oh, so the whole point of what I was trying to make, I'm sorry, it's early. Is that, I mean, I don't want to make this a thing about having a kid. It's everybody has a kid in a sense, everybody has times when there's something they're just doing stuff with. It could be cooking. It could be watching a TV show. It could be driving. But everybody's got things where they're like, I can't stop what I'm doing right now, really, even to acknowledge this. You know what I mean? And if you get enough of those going on, I find these weird patterns. As I've said before, I feel like I get, at some point in the afternoon, my time, Pacific time, there will be this bizarre confluence of notifications happening on my phone. We're like, it's just weird. I guess just a lot of stuff happens in my life around like between like 3 and 5, which I would partly peg to Central and East Coast people having an end to their day.
Or we're bored near the end of the day. Yes.
Well,
yes.
Like when first of all, do you notice anything like this? Doesn't it feel like there are times where like it's all quiet for a while and then do you get bursts of activity?
Oh, I love the quiet times. Absolutely. At the same time, as well as there's like a middle, it's like the dark texting group, where, you know, everybody is talking at like 3 a.m. and you never know what's going to go on there. Not gross, sexy stuff. Don't go there. But yeah.
For me, that's night Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Pacific night Twitter is a fun Twitter.
It really is. That's
because people get a little silly. We have some drinks and everybody that's the time that I've got to do things on Twitter of any like focus. I don't really have anything to say. Well, necktie Twitter is stroking itself in the day hours. but at night, that's not sometimes when I got something to say. So you feel like you communicate a lot at night?
Oh, that's the thing is I am either texting and communicating with people constantly all day long or not talking to anyone for days at a time because I'm not super great. And just now, our friend of the show, Mrs. Soup, aka Kathy, just texted me, and she has a lot going on. She is a kid, and sometimes I go days.
She's a very cute kid.
Oh God, I had the pleasure of meeting her kid, and I got her a great birthday card, and now we're on cool terms. I'm very excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, don't forget about my kid.
Yes,
she needs you.
Don't worry.
I know that the kid is maybe not a thing you're gonna have soon, but you already have some kids. You need to maintain these relationships.
I agree.
No pressure.
Here's the thing.
No pressure.
Ellie got in early. Like, that's and also.
Oh, good. Good. So she's grandfathered.
She's grandfathered in, and also she's the first one in that age bracket because, you know, you got to keep. I need to keep my interests up, obviously. So I can only have so many interests in each, like, micro generation of child. Because a 12-year-old's going to want something way different than an 8-year-old's.
Yeah. Do you have any 8-year-olds in your life?
Because
Kathy's daughter is, I think, just a little younger than my daughter?
No.
Roughly the same age?
No, just enough that she is in another world, which is great.
On the younger end, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, on the younger end.
Okay.
Glad I've made all these relationships.
No, but I mean, she seems communicative, and she has a very expressive face. Have you ever seen Todd's kids?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
my
fuck Todd. Goodness. I fucking hate Todd. Todd's like, oh, yeah, we went on vacation. Here's some photos. And I'm like, stop showing me your fucking cute kids, you dick. His daughter is like, she's like, I really enjoy kids who look like they could be in a children's book. That's my favorite kind of kid, is a kid who looks like they would be. And Max is trying to call in. What's he doing?
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to place my call on hold. I'm going to reject your call, Max.
Oh, well.
Well, I can do that. But. Yeah. Oh, anyway, we should come back to this later. Last night she made a Shrimp Heaven Now poster.
Oh, my God.
Like, as if it were a movie. Daniel, we can't keep doing this.
That's so good.
What's my responsibility here?
Oh.
Anyway, I don't know what to do. See, I don't want to put you on. Okay. Oh, yep. Okay. I was on the horns of a dilemma because my choice was stop talking to my friend Alex and having this conversation, or reject Max. I think he gave up. Do you want to dial him in?
It's like the end of The Good Son.
I don't know that, but that's probably what it is.
It's very funny to me.
Is that part of the good eye on the Skype? He says, eye on the Skype.
I think Cameron's patching him in.
Beep boop. Nope. Boop.
I hear some ruffling.
I see somebody
could
joined.
Could it be shuffling?
Is that our magic boy?
Oh.
Huh? Yeah, so. Yeah, she's had a third wave of interest in papercraft that's turning out to be really fun. She's gone through these three waves of papercraft over the years. Mm-hmm. First, she was really into that. Remember, we did the challenge where you like go to that app and you can like do those easy ones. She's now making sushi and trees. She's making full 3D trees. She made a vase of flowers that looks like a vase and looks like flowers. Mm-hmm. And there's paper everywhere.
There we go. Hello.
Hey, there's a magic boy. Were you hanging out with Matt King, the goldfish magician?
I was hanging out with Matt King.
Is this your card?
My close personal friend, Matt King.
Matt King. He looks a lot like Ken Jennings, if he's cosplaying Tom Wolfe.
He's my childhood hero and greatest living comedy magician.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Where did you see him on TV and stuff?
Matt King.
Well, how did he become your childhood magic hero? Where did you get exposed? Was he on, like, Showtime or something?
When I had my bar mitzvah, I didn't want to do, like, you know, bar mitzvah stuff. And so I just wanted magic. And so Matt King came to my that was my bar mitzvah.
You got Ricky Jade.
I got Ricky Jade.
That's what happened to Ricky J.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So is he still at Harrah's?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. I think he's at Harrah's. Yeah, he's got a...
You can tell. You can tell. I've spent a lot of time researching comedy magician Matt King.
He's actually the number one. If people ever go to Vegas and they want to... Like, they're like, what's the coolest thing to do in Vegas? It's Matt King's show in Vegas. It's the funniest thing in the world.
We went to Vegas in 2000, the summer of 2000. My lady friend and me, and we met my one of my best friends from back in Florida, who my old housemate, Dennis, who was awesome. Not the one whose cat pooped on my pillow. This is Dennis, who said, if you see any bread, it's not here. That bread is mine. It doesn't exist for you. And we went to see the weirdest show. It was in the like downtown area, which as we know is code. Downtown's not quite as glitzy as like the Four Corners where all the good stuff happens. And who did we see? We went to see, what was his name? Marty, one of those like 70s comics. And it was such a weird show. And he had like a hot wife. Marty Allen. That's who we went to see. Well, you know, there's those guys who get a hot wife. You know what I'm talking about, right? Wait, go Google Marty Allen.
Okay. All right.
His famous line is, hello there. So we went to this casino that had mostly like nickel slots and Marty Allen and his hot wife. I want to bring her out. She's a wonderful singer.
Oh, my goodness.
That's his act?
Well, he used to be on, he was on a lot of, okay, so this is always the kind of career that I dreamed of for friend of the show, John Roderick. I've been saying to John Roderick for years in a way that frustrates him, you should be this generation's Charles Nelson Reilly. You should be the guy who's on lots of panel talk shows, is what I said.
Oh.
So Marty Allen, he's probably a little before your time. Do you recognize that guy? Wouldn't that be great for him?
I am very upset. How... Where is this hot wife? Is this what was?
Well, he looks like he passed. He passed a few years ago.
He looks like Danny DeVito in It's Always Sunny.
He's always had funny hair.
Mm-hmm.
Marty Allen, hot wife.
Hot
wife. Karen Kate Blackwell.
Is he having Tic Tacs again?
I think he has an automated card shuffling machine.
I'm just opening the windows. So we're at this convention is at the Orleans, which might be the worst hotel in Vegas, the worst casino.
Wait, what convention?
Is it one of those ones that, like used to be a nice casino?
I honestly cannot tell, but it is.
There was one called like the Gold Coast or something like that. There was one where like, and you walk in there and it's like one of those YouTube videos of a place that used to be a mall. You just go in there. It's just huge open ballrooms with nothing happening.
I haven't left this building in 36 hours. Like I check in, but I have not gone out. I haven't seen the sun. It's just this whole convention is happening like in this casino. And it's,
okay.
It's, I think I'm losing my mind.
Do you do any gaming while you're there, Max?
No, there's no gaming. It's just talks. It's talks and about magic, and then there's lots of shows.
I'm sorry to sound dim. What is the thing that you're at? It's a magic convention?
Yeah, I'm at Magic Live, which is the biggest magic convention in.
Oh, cool! That's great.
I think in the world.
Well, you must really be in your corn. That's exciting. For you. You get to rub elbows with all those magic people.
I'm having so much fun, but also everyone got extremely sick after Gen Con, and so I'm also just, I'm dying.
Oh no. I saw Stu is sick, I saw.
Everyone calls it, they're trying to be cute, and they call it the con plague or the con funk or whatever.
Con crud.
Yeah.
And like, it's disgusting. What it is that people... I don't know, man. They don't wash their hands, and everyone's touching each other and sharing food. Yep. I'm sick. And did you get sick, Alex?
I didn't, but I took extreme measures this year. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I had a...
You can't be more extreme than I am. It's impossible. Like, okay. I'm Purelling. I'm washing my hands. I'm elbow bumping people.
Max, did you drink any open containers did you drink any sort of liquids out of glasses at any dinner?
Wow.
Don't,
because you
do
think
it.
Someone might have put their thumb on the glass?
No, I think that everybody's gonna
come in with the milk.
You think, because we're with people who are clearly exhausted, and like, this person's clearly getting sick, And so I just have, you see how I kind of have that Dasani water bottle that looks like it is filled with pee because it's got my little caffeine powders. I did not drink a single open thing. Yeah.
So you're going full. You went full Howard Hughes in the sense that we're making a little joke here.
It is very upsetting at these things watching Alex walk around with her piss jug.
And it just gets bigger day by day as I get more and more tired and I add more.
You should get two.
You got a big piss jug.
Yeah.
You should carry two. You should carry one that's clearly water and one that clearly looks like your.
I do, literally, in my backpack. I do.
It's like, yeah, when Nathan doesn't want to screw up which of the tubes is for pooping and which of the.
Chili, not chili.
The chili, not chili. I love that show so much. Wow. Okay. So, but you were Howard Hughes-y in the sense that if somebody hands you.
I've got a new Howard Hughes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I won't use the glasses in the hotel room.
Oh, that's so smart.
That's so smart.
I just have to say that if I was a housekeeper in a hotel room and I had 100, and I assume there's some sort of boss that's yelling at me, you know, faster, faster, go, go. We have to get all these rooms done. Mm-hmm. I bet they're under a lot of workplace pressure and their job is very hard. And I think that if I was in their shoes and I came into the room and I would kind of squint at those glasses and I'd go, were those used? And then I would go, no, I'm leaving them.
Well, this is before we even get to first principles. When you get to who has touched your toilet paper, who has touched your glasses, who has touched, and I got to talk about the coffee maker in a second, but ask yourself this, who just touched all those things? The person who's been cleaning hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, the coffee maker. That can't be good to use.
Ask yourself this. How often does that coffee maker, number two, how often does that coffee maker get a real good clean? And then number one, imagine what happens to that coffee maker. Out of 100 visits, all you need is one person coming in the coffee machine. That's all you need. And now that's just part of your drink now. You know, I mean, one German, one bored German, like there's not a good chopped on, and you just come in the coffee machine. In the German style.
Hey Siri, send a text to Dr. Don.
Oh boy.
Oh, das Café ist gut.
Oh. You know, while this is happening.
Dr. Don, we're recording due by Friday.
Damn it.
And we need to know if it's safe to use the coffee machine in the hotel room.
The answer is going to be no.
Could you ask him if there's a way to know a German came in?
No, I already know the answer. Dr. Don's going to say it depends on your risk tolerance, and it depends.
Oh, yeah, and your attack vector.
And please don't give us any, quote, it depends nonsense answer, unquote.
Unquote. And, like, to what level of certainty? Has he ever done a threat matrix on German coming? That's coming.
Merlin wants to know if you've ever done a threat matrix on the coffee machine.
Octu Lieber.
Here's a new thing that I've decided to do in hotels. No turndown service. No, you just keep do not disturb on the entire time.
Oh, yes. Oh, no housekeeping at all.
No housekeeping at all. Because
I love that. I love this.
You can tell how bad a hotel is. I think that one of the signature tells of how bad a hotel is now is how much they really push the, like, we're green angle.
Oh, yes.
And so I take it for granted.
They should just put up a big bamboo sign that says, fuck you.
I take it for granted that, so this one says, this one I've got a Save Our Planet placard, like, by the sink saying, like, just throw your wet towels on the ground. And then I've got one on the bed saying, like, it says throw this little sign on the floor if you want us to change your sheets.
We change the sheets monthly because we love the environment.
But check this out. When you check in, they go, we're committed to eco something. And if you decline to have any room service, we'll give you 10% off.
What? Interesting. Wait, on the whole, I'd probably do that.
They're like, that's just how much we love the earth.
Here's the problem. And this will come back to our challenge, but I'm like, all right, I see these carts going around and all these towels are just exposed to the open air all the time.
No, they're just wet towels touching each other.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if you have checked out of your room and it appears like there's been no, like you haven't used the towels. Like, do they put those back on the cart and then put them, like those have been right above a toilet. If the person before you has not put the toilet seat down and they have flushed, it's just a direct funnel upwards.
It's effluvium. Oh, it's just a big poop capture.
We stayed at a gross hotel this weekend.
Did you see the picture that Professor Chapman posted of it's a restroom and like a bathroom, and then there's just a wall of just kegs of beer being stored in the bathroom.
Oh no!
And he's like, I wonder what the sanitizing procedure is for these kegs.
Oh, but I'll bet when it gets real busy, you still spend 20-25 minutes doing a tank wipe. Yeah, I bet they get real in there. Yeah, well, you really got me thinking about it, Max. I think it was you that got me thinking about the if you don't close the lid, it sprays everywhere. You get splatter that you can't see everywhere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do think about that now.
How do you not? Ugh.
Let's see. I talked about this last week on the podcast where at the, where were we staying? At the Hilton in Indianapolis, Alex?
Yep. The Hilton Indianapolis Garden Inn.
Ugh. No, we weren't at the Garden Inn. That's a different hotel.
Oh, it's the one with the circle that's, I don't know. The one where you pull in suites.
There's four Hiltons in Indianapolis, but we were staying at the vanilla Hilton, not the Garden Inn, not the Conrad, just the Hilton. Mm. And, I had an issue where I talked about this on the show where I checked in at like 2 a.m.
Oh yeah, yeah, with your lobby cart, right?
And they would not give me a cart. They said we're not authorized to give you a cart. And so a lady had to unpack my things and bring all my shit up and unpack it, and like I just didn't like it. It was not a service that I wanted. I just wanted to bring my own shit up to my room. But, you know, when we go to Gen Con, we drive, and so my car is like, I do the laziest packing, right? I have all this like shit in my car. And
like inefficient stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I do need the cart. And then when I went to check out, I don't know why. I was just like, I had like a rough day, and I was tired, and I just needed the cart. And so I went down to the bellhop or whatever, and I was like, may I please have a cart to pack my own room up? And they were like,
please have a cart, please.
May I please have the cart? And they said, no, we have to send someone up to pack your stuff up. And
so
I
it wasn't, just to be clear now, that means it was not one angry rogue agent.
Nope.
This is policy.
I watched this all weekend. It was crazy.
I thought maybe it was like the 2 a.m. shift, you know, that whatever.
Right, and maybe somebody for whatever reason got a vibe about you. You seem like a cart thief to them, or you're going to come on it or something, and they
maybe
know
they
that
knew
you're not
I was
supposed
a magician.
To give it. They could tell you people got a vibe, but you got it again.
Yeah, so I go... This was in the middle of the day, and I go down. They had the carts. They weren't out. I could see them right there, and I said, may I please borrow a cart? And I promise I will bring it back in 5 minutes. I just needed to bring all my bags and stuff down because I have all these, like, grocery bags with, like, board games and prototypes and shit in it. And they were like, well, we could send someone up to pack all your stuff up. And I was like, no, thank you. I just want the cart. I don't need that. And they go, well, we're not allowed to do that. Our supervisor would fire us if we let you have the cart. And I said, well, does anyone at the hotel have a cart that I can borrow? And they said, no, we do that service. And I was like, well, this is ridiculous. I was like, I've never stayed in a hotel where they wouldn't give you a cart. And they were like, well, we're a full service. The guy says to me, well, we're a full service. What's the thing? Valet. We're a full service, like, valet service. Because it's, like, also the guys who park your car, right?
Oh, I remember the first time we went somewhere. I mean, I think this is weirdly related. The very first time when my wife and I stayed somewhere where there were – because I grew up in Florida where, like, there's a giant parking lot for everything. And I remember the very first time we stayed at a hotel where you had to valet park your car and you had to pay $30 a night, full stop. If you've got a car – same deal? Similar? Do you think it's a similar deal here?
I mean, there was no other parking available at this hotel. I actually parked in a parking garage for two of the nights because I couldn't stand to use the valet.
Wow. Okay.
But yes, it's the same deal. Like, there's no like parking lot at the hotel. Like, you just, if you're parking at the hotel, they're valeting your car. That's the only.
But I guess, I just mean in that sense, like, A, it's a revenue stream, but it's also a way for them to conclusively say, we don't even have, like Apple saying, like, we don't have a way to get to your data. In their case, they'd be like, well, you have to do valet parking. And I wonder if it's a similar thing here where, but like, they're not going to, that's not a revenue stream for them. You might get a tip. But, like, why would you be so aggravated? Why would you be so hostile like that?
I gave the girl $5. Well, the first time who brought my shit up, I gave her $5. But I was under protest. I said, I really don't want this service. I said, please just let me bring my own things up. And then I felt like I had to tip. What am I going to not tip her? So it's not her fault. So I gave her $5. So Anyway, on the way, and then I couldn't let it go. So I went to the front desk and I said, I'd like a cart. And they were like, we don't have any carts. And I was like, what kind of a hotel doesn't have a luggage cart? Like, that's like a core competency of the hotel of letting me bring my bags up and down. And they were like, well, it's only the valet. And then at this point, I'm getting into it with the guy. And so the valet comes down and he's like, I could be happy to send someone up to pack your stuff up. And I'm like, but I wouldn't be happy to have that happen. And he goes, well, it's our policy that any time that you have a valet cart, it has to be attended by one of our staff people who handles the bags. And I said, well, it's my policy that I never have a staff person with me, that I always handle my bags myself. So now our policies are in conflict, and we have to resolve this somehow. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, well, we're a full service valet, so I can't let you do that. And I said, right now it's a no service valet, because there's only one thing I want, which is the cart, and you won't give it to me. And he goes, well, that wouldn't be service. And I said, it would be service to me, because that's what I want. And then in the end, I didn't get the cart.
Okay.
You should have demanded trial by combat.
I choose the mountain.
Who will be my champion?
I don't know. I couldn't let it go. I never get into those like customer service altercations. Like, I'm like the opposite of a let me talk to your manager guy. And I just couldn't, for whatever reason, I couldn't let it go.
You go through this thing where you're like, I went through this recently with UPS in a way that was, it became extremely comical. And I even as I was on the phone, and I was having a conversation with a person who was saying English words, and I still couldn't understand what anyone was saying. I was very confused, and she just kept saying, this has been updated. It is at the warehouse. I said, I understand. You've had it out for delivery for 4 days now, and then it goes back to the warehouse. And she says, that's correct. And I say, okay, so when so I realize I sound like a character in a Kafka novel. When will the thing arrive at my house? And she says, well, the latest update is that it's currently at the warehouse. And I said, I understand that. I said, the thing is, it had been out for delivery 3 days. And then on Saturday, I called you. That was the third time I called you. And I said, it's not here. And they said it was at the warehouse. And they said, and they called and they left me a message and said, it'll definitely be delivered on Monday. It'll be on. And then on Monday, it went out. And then at 1 o'clock, I got a delay exception. And it said it had gone back to the warehouse. And she says, that's correct. It's currently at the warehouse. I said, I'm really explaining this so poorly. I feel really bad to keep bringing this up. This is a very costly chair for me. It was a lot of money. Do you have a new chair? Like a new chair. When will the chair arrive? And she said, well, the latest update that I have from your local warehouse is that it is at the warehouse right now. And I said, thank you. Do you have any, what I'm wondering is, do you know when the chair will be delivered? Because it's been out for delivery for 4 days. And she said, I've just checked. And if you just give me a minute, I will contact the local warehouse. And so I was on hold. And then she came back. She said, the latest update is it's currently at the warehouse. And I said, thank you for that update. Do you have any sense of when, given that it's been out for delivery 4 days and has a delay exception every afternoon, do you have a sense of what the problem might be? Is something wrong? Is the chair broken? Has it been recognized as a munition in customs? Is there anything that you could tell me about when it would actually be delivered? Because the thing is, the reason I bought it was to have it. And Amazon went ahead and used y'all for the delivery part. So it's been out for delivery for 4 days. Do you have a sense of when it will arrive? She said, currently the latest update is that it's at the warehouse. And I said, okay. I ordered it last week from Amazon, and then they used UPS. Do you have a sense of when it will be delivered? And I think she put me on hold again. And she came back and said, it's currently at the warehouse. Is there anything else I can help you with today? I said, no, thank you. Thank you. I'm very satisfied with my care.
The best is when you finally... When you finally defeat the swordsman, the left-handed swordsman,
the final customer service boss, it's your personal UPS Ganon.
yeah. So you defeat the left-handed swordsman and the giant, right? And now you get to the final stage.
Oh no!
And they put you and the guy, and you're just about to do the poison challenge. And the guy goes, let me put you on hold for one final time. You wait on hold for 40 minutes, and then it just hangs up on you.
Oh, I love that. And then you call back. Okay, so I did make my daughter cry.
When you call back in that scenario, they almost always make you fight the left-handed swordsman again. You start right back in the beginning.
You got to fight the left. The six-fingered man is you have to start. You basically start over, and you'll do a prima dos, and then and you go back through the whole thing again, and they say, "What's your tracking number?" And so from the other room, my daughter heard me. I had a whole drafts document to keep track of all that was happening. She heard me from the other room. Say, help, help, operator, fuck, operator, help, agent. And she came in crying. And she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Shh, I'm being helped. Fuck, operator, agent, help, fuck. Okay, I just need to get I need to know your tracking number to fuck, agent, operator, help. I sounded like a robot who had become self-aware the minute it realized it was going to die. Tears and rain, operator, help, fuck. What's wrong, Daddy? Shh, Daddy's being helped. It's at the warehouse. Shh, that's the latest update. Is that it's at the warehouse? It's been out for delivery 4 times.
Oh, wow! I had no empathy until the robot.
Time to die. I really felt like I was losing my goddamn mind because I did reach a point where I had been through this for 5 business days and the same thing happened every day and no one would admit it was weird.
That's so strange.
Did you get the chair?
Yes, I'm sitting in it now.
Oh.
Is it nice?
Oh.
Yes. Send us a little chair pic.
No. It was costly. I don't want to discuss it. I'll send you a photo, but you're not allowed to talk about it.
So Dr. Don wrote me back. He says, "I have not done a threat matrix on the hotel coffee machines." And he goes, "I have used hotel coffee makers before, if that helps you gauge risk." And he said, "It's pretty low risk. The water is boiled and the coffee is not that dirty."
You didn't ask about drinking the coffee. You asked about using the coffee maker. That's way two different things.
Well, yeah. Like, what if you boil the water in a toilet? I mean, it's still a toilet. That's okay. No, it's got flecks of poop in there. But it's boiled. It's fine. Get Professor Chapman on this.
That's a handsome chair. You know, that kind of looks like the captain's chair from Voyager.
It sort of does. The arms move a lot and without much touching. And Syracuse recommends taking the arms off, which I'm not sure I'm ready for.
Oh, that's an arm-off chair. Yeah.
But it's extremely adjustable. And, it doesn't look like
the arms. You got to get Alex in there. Every week she'll take one part of the chair off to disorient you. Coming Monday, there'll be no wheels.
Today, 2 wheels, 1 arm, left arm, 2 wheels. Like, check my sheet.
Toby.
I think this is what Alex would do if she was like a Bond villain. She'd be like, "Mr. Bond, let's see how you deal with 3 wheels, no cushions.
Not so easy to roll now, is it?"
He'd be like, "Can you go back to beating my testicles, please?"
Can I have the rope beating again? Oh no, he took a wheel off my rope beating chair. Who gets a chair like that? That's so weird. You go to like extreme restraints. You're like, "I would like something that's kind of like a toilet where I could make a government agent sit on it. And then I hit his balls with a big knotty rope." It's a knotty rope. And he's a bad boy.
You know, it's not really discussed in the James Bond canon, but he's 100% infertile.
About if I were to torture the male anatomy, I don't really know how. I really have no desire to ever kill a human being, but I bet there's a situation in which I'm going to have to torture someone's balls, and I don't know how to. Could I kill somebody
like as a Patreon reward?
Yeah, like, okay, so we've got that $100,000 Patreon reward. If I full on cut them off, do you bleed out? Like, do you poke it with a stick? I truly,
like, fantasy cut or like real cut?
No. Like full on. I just saw Midsummer, so I'm a little bit like,
well, that's a medical procedure, Alex. I don't know if we're authorized to do that. You could fake cut it. You could make them give you money. You could do financial ball smacking. That's huge right now.
So I've heard. I'd be the worst dominatrix.
You should hack. You should be like that lady who hacks into your computer. You should do that.
I could do that. I can get into your Wi-Fi. Like, oh, Well, not with Eero.
I think you're already torturing them, Alex, just by not being interested in them sexually. I think that's all the torture any man needs.
Yeah, I want a manifesto written about me.
Wow. A man, more like a woman-a-festo.
More like a femesto.
Come to Dubai, sweetie.
I feel like there hasn't been a lot of Arabian Prince activity lately, and it makes me a little bit worried that they've killed all the falcons, because what else are you going to talk about on Reddit with Arabian princes? Like,
there's a rumor that MBS is dating Lindsay Lohan.
What? What?
Am I wrong? Did I dream that?
I don't know.
MBS Lindsay Lohan. She's got a lot of balls in the air. What's going on between Lindsay Lohan? Oh, no, Lindsay Lohan. Oh, my gosh. She's very dewy.
My
gosh, she's so moist.
She's kind of... I feel about her the same way I feel about Amanda Bynes, where, like, I just wanted to be your best friend as a kid. Like, when you want to be best friends with somebody in high school and then you realize, oh, really dodged a bullet there. No, Lindsay Lohan.
I just want her to be happy.
You think she likes falcons?
In what sense? Like, in a sexual way? Like, in an intimate way?
No, just as a sporting hobby.
Oh, I bet she fucking loves it. Who wouldn't love a falcon?
Who doesn't like falcons? That's
falcons
like saying
are
you don't
badass,
like wolves.
Man.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't like a hog? What were you saying about hotel rooms?
That doesn't matter. I feel like one way to quickly gauge how much you can trust. There are many ways to gauge how much you can trust your hotel room. Mm-hmm. I think one, if you only can check one thing, look behind the television set.
Let's look right now. Hang on. I'm going mobile.
I can almost promise you it's going to be more dusty than you would like. But there also
it's quite clean back there.
Okay, well then you're that's just the first pass. I'm saying if you walk into a hotel room,
oh no, wait,
if that's real real bad, you know that place has not gotten a good cleaning in a while.
It's quite dusty back there.
I actually feel good about this because I often do I often break the rules and pull everything out to get to the HDMI something or other, and usually it's pretty cleaner than my TV. Mm-hmm. All right. What's step two?
Oh, I mean, there's a whole bunch. I think I've covered this on Back to Work, but I have an entire.
I have never heard the TV one. That is very good.
Well, I have a whole protocol I go through. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, for example, Max mentioned seeing the green placard in the bathroom. Well, that's a rookie mistake, because the first thing you do when you walk in there, you look at behind the TV and you say, should I even be here? I pick up every piece of marketing material and put it in a drawer. Anything
same,
that has
same.
Printing on it from the company has to go in a drawer.
Same.
That's one. Fake plants go in the closet.
But you touch the fake plants? Why?
Well, I mean, you know what? You're right.
Is this an aesthetics thing? Because I totally understand that.
Oh, it's a sanity thing. I need to make it my own. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Take all those pillows off the bed. Throw them away. Throw the pillows away. Take the bedspread off the bed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is covered with cum.
Mm-hmm.
For me, there's something about being in a hotel room where I'm constantly... Let me start here. Whenever you're living out of a hotel room or whatever, you're never like on time for anything. Like every single thing in your life is a last minute panic, right? Like Alex, do you agree with this? Like when we're at these conventions and you're in a hotel for a week, like you're never like, oh, look at
you
that.
You really lose track of time in general, don't you?
Well, it's like you're working these long hours. I mean, you have 19-hour days. You're not sleeping. Like you have no routine. Like everything is chaos. And then it's like suddenly like, people are texting you and they're like, let's get breakfast in 5 minutes. You're like, running around. You're like, where's my everything?
Travis McElroy's here. Where's Max?
Yeah.
You need some piss water to be on time. I'm telling you.
It's really crazy situation. And so then you add to that that you don't know where anything is. Like all your stuff is just scattered. Now I have my little Redox valet. Right, I'm staring. I'm looking at it right now, and it's got my wallet, my hotel key,
the little snappy basket,
the snappy basket.
First thing I take out. It's always on top of my suitcase. First thing you do, take out the Redox.
We should have like an affiliate deal with them.
Yeah,
we
no, I love that thing. That is a very important piece for me because that's where you put your wallet, you put the keys.
Merlin, I got to give it up to you. You said this, and we all made fun of you on the in the Alps episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it and I said, you know, I never know where my keys and wallet are in the hotel room. And so I bought the little.
You know what it is? The Redox Snappy Bass Stick is home. That's home. That you start, that is home. When that goes down, that's where the important things go. Because the hotel room will eat everything. Unless you keep it. I don't even take things out of my packing cubes. I put the packing cubes into a drawer, maybe. Who knows who's come in that drawer?
Oh, no. You put things into drawers? I apologize.
If I'm there for a while, sure.
I will open the drawers to deposit any of the sort of hotels, papers. Mm-hmm. I'll unplug any sort of. Oh, you know what they fucking love now are these, like, iHome phone docks that just glow. They just have a million lights and LEDs on them.
With a 30 pin jack on it.
Yeah. So that immediately gets unplugged and it goes into the drawer. It all goes into the drawer.
Do you unplug all your phones? Do you unplug the phones?
Oh, everything's getting unplugged and put in the drawers.
I put the phones in a drawer too. Yeah.
I'm afraid that I'll set on fire and not escape. That's my one thing I don't unplug. Yeah.
And then here's the key thing. Here's a technology that you should consider adopting, Merlin.
Okay.
Then the drawers are never opened again.
Drawers
must always remain sealed. Because then when you go to pack, you've now eliminated that one thing of, like, is there something in a drawer?
Well, you've also, I mean, like, psychologically, you have removed all of the hotelness that you can. So if you do leave, everybody leaves a charger behind sometimes, something like that. But now you know, I mean, also, you know, I use an Anchor hub where everything is in one area. I'm not one of those idiots who fucking, oh, just plug in my phone in this wall over here, dude. You know, put it behind the chair. Like, no, don't do that. You want to minimize the amount of spread that you can do. I just don't like living out of a literal suitcase for more than a day or two, personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this technology. Yeah, I feel like you got to make it your own, but, you know, there's just so much cum in there. I mean, just so much historical cum.
I've also got my magic stuff. I've been struggling over the last year with, like, how do I travel with my how much magic stuff is the right amount of magic stuff to bring and how do I travel with it?
Mm-hmm.
And I've put a lot of work into, like, over the years. Like, I have, like, a podcast rig that I'm talking to you on right now, and it's quite small. Like, I've bought enough, like, Marco products that it all collapses into nothing, it can share a packing cube with my socks and my suitcase. And I've really had to do a lot of work on the magic problem to figure out what the right amount of magic is. And I got it down so small for this trip. I'm so excited. It's barely anything.
That's a nice feeling. That's a really nice
feeling. It's one little zippered pouch. Like, it's like a half of a toiletries pouch. Very small.
I have to think about how Max gets his magic tricks into things and wondering, like, why can't be... There aren't... We've talked about this. There aren't a lot of magic pants made for women. But why don't they make, like, a tampon pants for women? So you just have little holsters that are hidden, like, at your ankles. Mm-hmm. And just,
oh, like a bandolier.
Yeah, like, you just, there are right. so many, there's so much bullshit we need all the time. And I, we're
load,
gonna...
snatch, misdirection, tampon.
There was this commercial in the late.
He's putting out the cigarette. No, he's grabbing the golf tee.
No!
He's got the tampon. He's wearing his magic pants.
Do you remember the commercial where this is when there was, like, the new tampon technology of basically it was small? Like, that was the only thing.
Like,
and
the OB? Like, when the OB first came out?
I don't know. I think it was after that. But it there's this commercial. It is a high school class. One girl's passing a colorful thing to another.
Yeah, you could put it, like, in a clutch. Yeah.
Yeah. And the teacher goes, come up here. Bring that with you. And the girl brings her lovely little tampon to the front, and he goes, well, did you bring enough for the whole class? And
what?
She's like, just the girls. And that's the whole commercial. And I realized it worked really well because I still remember that weird thing. You're making a me noise. What's wrong? Is it because I'm talking about tampons? I'm sorry.
Do you know the guys from... Do you know the... So we complained about they don't make the commuter jeans anymore, right? The Levi's
yes.
commuter jeans.
The nice commuter
And then
jeans.
These...
Yeah.
The good ones. I mean, they still make them by name, but it's a different product and they suck. Yeah. And so we got an email from our friends at Dearborn Denim, and they said, we make, like, high-end, awesome blue jeans in Chicago. So they invited us to go visit the factory and check out the jeans, and you already anxiously emailed them back and you said, if we do it, but I wear a pair of Levi's, well, I'd be in trouble. And they said no. And I got so excited. I went on their website to see what their deal was. And then I got so excited about their like offering that I went that, like, I stopped everything I was doing that day and I went to the Dearborn Denim store and I got two pairs of pants. And they're amazing. So here's number one. Here's the first thing they do right. It's called Dearborn Denim. So here's the first thing they do right. What I like about Levi's is they don't look like anything. It's like very, it's like Westworld when they see something not from their world. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't look like anything to me. Like, mm-hmm. I really would prefer to not be noticed for the type of pants that I'm wearing.
Right.
And so to me, if you get any brand other than Levi's, they generally have some sort of crazy, they've got fucking flames on them or they're distressed or they have like racing stripes. So like there's something on them where you're like,
well, to your point, they're trying to look like more than Levi's on purpose.
Correct. Yeah. And you don't want there's that. Just something, there's something about it where you look at them and you go, these are weird, man. Like you're trying to get noticed for your pants. And
hey, nice pads. Are those prescription pads?
More power. Listen, more power to you. If you're like flame decal on your pants guy. I mean, that's cool, but not for me. But what's cool about Dearborn Denim is they make very, very super high, as far as I can tell, super high quality denim that feels amazing. And it's not the same as Levi's, but it just
ooh,
looks
they have
like
darted
jeans.
Knees. Look at
yeah,
that.
They
I love darts. Are so thoughtful. That's a nice way to finish something.
Those are their somewhat goofy commuter ones, which I didn't do.
I
just did the normal skinny jeans.
Okay, well I'm on the wrong page then. Okay.
Yeah, just look at the normal commuter or the normal skinny jeans. Oh, but here's the thing. So here's the deal. When you go to the Dearborn Denim store, they do not sell pants by length. They sell them by waist size. So you select the pair you want by waist size, and then they measure you and they hem them in the store while you wait to your specifications.
Oh, I need that.
And you have no idea what a fucking game changer this is for me.
Oh, I absolutely do. Oh my God.
Like if you're not, I mean, I'm an irregular height, so I always need to get my pants hemmed. But if there's people out there,
all of my body, I have this improv, you know, like models look like every part of them's long, where you look at a model and you're like, they have long legs and a long torso. How is that possible? I have short everything. I have short everything. My penis is amazing, but my rise is very short. And so everything, I feel like I look like I'm trying to make some kind of like old man joke with all my pants, and then they're too long, and it's just
all their jeans are just huge tubes of fabric that go down forever. And then they measure you in the store and they hem them right there. And I was like, this is the greatest. They have two stores in Chicago. The store was super nice. The guy was super helpful. He hemmed the jeans for me, and it's all I've worn since. I'm fully converted over onto Dearborn Denim. I give them my strongest endorsement.
You're selling past the clothes. I need to have these right now. Okay, so I see tailored, relaxed, slim.
Why don't you come to Chicago?
No, that's not going to happen.
So I personally did slim.
Tailored. Okay, well, what's the distinction between tailored and slim? Slim is tighter. Tailored is normal. Relaxed is jokey Jenkos.
Yeah.
Okay, so tailored is normal. Is that right? Tailored is normal?
I believe that's right, yeah.
Okay, what am I looking at here? 10 ounce, 13 ounce. Oh, we can get 13 ounce dark wash.
No, I did black. I did all black jeans because I'm going for that Kevin Budnick look. Like, Kevin always looks cool in those dark jeans.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, he's got the stems for it.
Yeah.
He's 10 ounce stretched denim. I'm going to do 35.
But they're not going to hem them. They're not going to hem them for you because you have to come into the store. You're missing the
whole
thing.
Well, I can tell they're going to do something like hemming because guess what? They've got different sizes of length that aren't just even numbers.
Here's the thing, though.
I'm going to get 35, 31. Look at me. I'm a hideous freak. Everything about me is odd numbered. 35, 31. That's not a pair of pants I've ever seen in my life. They don't make them because apparently I'm a hideous freak. Oh, this grotesquerie does not deserve odd numbers. Hang him by the neck until dead.
So, Alex, here's what I'm thinking. I think we need to go to the hang out with the Dearborn Denim people and tour the factory. And then I think we need to start to get them to make custom special pants for us.
Do they make wind jackets?
I already want special magic pants. I need some special features in my pants for magic. And I think that you should get your tampon bandolier pants. Just in the ankle, just one little,
exactly.
One little. I mean, how hard could that be? It's one little piece of fabric, and they sew it in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see.
And they support Apple Pay, so I just bought pants.
Oh. Well, that, if that doesn't get you to Chicago, nothing will. Do you ever think about what... I like to have this thought experiment every few months of, I wonder what would get Merlin to Chicago. But it ends pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It doesn't go.
Why do you want me there? What would be the purpose of that? Why can't I just do it from
here? So we can hang out and eat prime rib.
I mean, can we just do it by Skype?
You'd be on one of those telepresence robots. You come rolling into the steak place. You'd be like, what are the sides, please? The sides?
Cream, spinach, please. I love you. Okay, I've ordered pants. they don't have tampon. Well, they might have tampon holes. I don't know.
It might be a special, like when like those video stores that used to have like 18 plus. It's like you can only enter here if you have a vagina. I bet. Yeah.
Oh, you got to go through the swinging Western Saloon doors.
Yeah, or there's velvet, like the velvet thing.
Wow, Alex, that is not very woke of you, is it?
No, I'm sorry.
You saying they're porno pants? Oh my gosh! All right, performance characteristics of porno pants.
It's all pants. Flap? You put a phone in. And you...
It's like a union suit, but for a dick. It's got two little buttons, and you just pop it open.
There's got to be some kind of wicking material, right?
Oh, to wick away moisture?
Yeah.
Like what if you want to put it in a popcorn box?
I see.
I don't know. I mean, I think we need to plan for every woman.
All right. So for your penis.
Yes, for my penis, which is awesome, even though I have a short rise.
That's very big. We've established.
It's been highly commended. Yes.
I wonder... Oh, what if it's like one of those silent Velcro type things? Like it looks like it's a zipper fly, but really it's just you quietly.
Is that a Werner Herzog movie? Silent Velcro. The darkness crept over as I entered the theater.
TikTok challenge.
But, I prep for this one. Now
I did, too.
I know. I prepped for this. Did you see my prep?
No. I need to go back into the doc.
No, go tell us your bit. Merlin, go through the bits that you wrote.
Oh, do your bit first, Alex.
What's the deal when you're on an airplane?
You're telling me one kid's allergic to a peanut, so we can't have peanuts? you had something. I think this is you. Given that it's not... Oh, I see your pink cursor.
Oh, yeah. That's me. Wow, you made me pink. Wow. Okay.
I didn't make you anything. Wait, can I change your color? I can change your color?
I don't know. I see you as pink, too.
Because John Syracuse is pink, and it's upsetting to me. I don't think I can change your color.
Put your cursor in the cursor resting zone.
In the cursor resting area.
Put it on this guy.
Dig.
Do we want to talk about the... God, I can't even say it. Trump's method of liking tweets?
Please.
All right.
Reading series.
I'm going to do a Temkin. Intelligence, sir. Trump's method of liking tweets is needlessly complicated. The irony of Donald Trump's Twitter dominance is that, apart from his apparent mastery of microblogging platform, he's largely a Luddite. He doesn't use a computer. He's likely never downloaded an app. And, as Politico reported Monday, he does all of his news reading, with the exception of Fox News chyrons, on paper. He even has his staff print out the Drudge Report for him.
That looks great on a resume, by the way.
Yep,
printed
totally.
Out Drudge Report.
The Drudge Report, by the way, has no articles. Like, all it is just links.
It's just a headline. But the most eye-popping revelation from Politico's dive into Trump's reading habit is that in his decidedly analog method for liking it, I can't read. First, a quick reminder, blah, 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 blah. All right, the president has even been known... I got it. I wasn't prepared, but now I got it. The president has even been known to send printouts of tweets he likes. After he liked one Gats tweets, he had it printed by a staffer, signed it, and requested that... No Oxford comma again. Wow. And requested that it be sent to... Is it Gats? Is it Gates?
Gates
Congressional Office, where the now-framed tweet hangs. So I can't tell from the original Politico article, does he do this with every liked tweet? Does he just like go through Twitter and like them and then he has people print stuff out?
I don't think so. I think he's using the Twitter app. Him or Pascal or maybe who Scavino. Right? Scavino is another one that does a lot of his stuff. I've heard many different reports about how he does this. I've heard that he dictates, but like there's just certain things. I don't know. I think he probably uses the Twitter app, don't you? There's no way. I don't know. I've just always assumed that. But on the other hand, he also very much strikes me as somebody who does not read replies. I think when he retweets and likes and all that stuff, the stuff, the really, really awful stuff, I get the feeling that could be him, but I get the feeling that's probably Scavino. Scavino finding something he knows the Trump would be into. So whenever people say Donald Trump tweets this, Donald Trump retweets that, I was like, well, I mean, that's kind of like saying UPS tweeted that. Well, no, somebody who works at UPS tweeted that. It's, you know what I mean? I think there's a team of people who are probably involved. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen any photos of him holding an information phone?
No.
I mean, given how much he appears to be engaged with Twitter, doesn't it seem like, I mean, have you ever seen like a lump in his pocket from a phone? Like, it's just weird. It is strange that like, given how much, but I guess again, on the other hand, there's not that many photos of him watching TV. So I don't know.
I think he always has a phone on him, even if that phone isn't charged. It's like he wants that power of he's got the phone.
No, I think he's from another generation where it's more powerful to have someone else hand you the phone when you want it.
He doesn't like being handed things.
Yeah, but he had the little pissy fit where he wanted to keep his phone when they tried to give him like a lockdown iPhone or something.
Because he had that incredibly compromised Android phone.
It's not like in his own pocket, though. It's that he didn't. So the issue is that he probably has some staff person or aide who carries around all the shit with him. Mm-hmm. He's got a Gary, and the Gary hands him a phone, and he doesn't want a phone he doesn't know how to use. He only knows how to use the Android. It's all about that he doesn't want to do any work to learn a new phone.
Yeah, but now, no, but I mean, the activity on the phone is now, or on Twitter, it's always iPhone now. As Todd and other people pointed out, it used to be you could tell the ones that were from him versus his staff. Oh, God, that was a fun time. When it was from an Android phone, you knew it was him. And if it was from an iPhone, you knew it was one of his staff.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd and some other people did some really good research on that.
I still think even if it isn't on him, his Gary always has a phone that's like, quote, his. You know what I mean?
He's so into phones. Look at how often there's a phone in the picture in this photograph. He loves phones.
Exactly.
He loves being photographed, like talking on the phone in his fucking car.
Mm-hmm.
I think he loves phones and I think he loves signing things, which was what inspired me to do a fast whistle stop tour. So in this case, he loves signing a piece of paper that has a tweet on it.
Oh.
And then he gives that to somebody so they can frame it. Somebody horrible from Florida like Matt Gaetz. So I just want to do you can click these links if you want. I know many of these are already well known. I just want to do a quick whistle stop tour of some of the things that Donald Trump has autographed.
Mm-hmm. All right, go for it.
Just real quick, there's that time he visited people after a storm in Alabama, and he signed Bibles. There are photos of the Bibles that he has signed. He signed a wall at a storm shelter where there had been a tropical storm and people in Houston had been evacuated. He signed a shelter. There, Snopes checked. He did sign a lady's chest. There's a photograph of that. He signed a $20 bill that's available on eBay. He signed a copy of Playboy that he was on the cover of. And my favorite, as pictured in our show notes, is when he sent a printout of a map to Bibi Netanyahu. He signed it and then pointed to the Golan Heights with a Sharpie arrow and said, nice.
Oh, my God.
But he signed a map of Israel because, you know.
Nice.
What do we mean when we say on the nose?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
nice.
Wow.
Nice heights.
Wow.
Oof, so that bit wasn't very good,
one.
But I'm very intrigued by how much he loves. And then, of course, there became a whole meme where, like, he loves signing something. And you have to admit, he has a very cool autograph. But he loves holding up the thing he just signed. Like he just made poopy. He's like, check it out. I totally signed this.
he's you have to understand that Trump is kind of a cosplayer. Like he's this kind of dumb guy.
The poor man's idea of a rich man. Was that Annie Leibovitz? Yeah. Annie Leibovitz. Who's the lady you like in New York? Alex, what's her name?
Haberman?
No, yeah, it was
Jewish women in New York. What?
Fix this so that I sound smart. The writer, the dyke writer in New York that we love. What's her name? Fuck.
That's literally half of the lesbians in New York. What are you talking? Alison Bechdel? Is that
3, 2, 1? Somebody once said that Trump is the poor man's idea of a rich man.
Ah, yes, Alison Bechdel.
Wrong dyke.
Wait, which one?
Who am I thinking of? It's not Annie Leibovitz. Fran Leibovitz? Fran?
No, no.
Who's the dykey writer in New York?
Okay,
Alex, you know all these people. Aren't you on a Slack?
New York.
Aren't you on a Slack with all these people?
These, I literally don't.
Fran Leibovitz. Frances Ann Leibovitz.
Okay. I genuinely on my life don't know who that is.
Anyway, 3, 2, 1. They said it's in the warehouse. They said it's in the warehouse. And that was the latest update. And I said, thank you for that update to the information. Is there any? So the reason that I bought it from Amazon and that they sent it through the UPS service is that when I bought the chair, which is very costly for me, it's a lot of money for me. I don't want to sound like I'm dunning you about this, but I do. There's a lot invested in this chair. I said, do you have any sense of when it will be delivered as the chair that I purchased from Amazon and sent through UPS? And she said, according to the latest update, it's still at the warehouse. So, Fran Leibovitz.
Mm-hmm. You okay?
Boy, I really took you off. Cosplay.
No, that's okay. He's not a very smart man. He's a pretty dumb guy, and he just sort of in the 80s he realized that he was gonna basically be an actor playing the part of an 80s business guy. You know, I don't think that he makes any deals. Like, I don't think he's involved in any of this stuff. I think that he's basically licenses his name, and then he has this incredible instinct for, like, attention. And he realized, it's not even he realized. It's like the grifters around him realized that that Trump can go around and sort of get he commands attention. Like, there's just something about the guy. He's got that sociopath instinct of, like, he can make the whole room just, like, look at him and talk about him and make everything about him. And he was good at manipulating, like, the tabloid press and then the real press and now the whole country. And he's not doing it for any reason other than that that's just, like, instinctually what he wants to do. But he's, like, cosplaying these increasingly important roles in society. And so the Republican Party.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like saying a bear is good at sleeping or a lion's good at eating. It's like it is just his instinct. As you said, mm-hmm. He's realized that he's a man who came from money, who was then able to play the role of someone who had money. Let's not even talk about the fact that if he just stuck it all in an index fund, he'd have 10 times more money today because he's an idiot. But you really nailed it, though, because you get to the time of The Apprentice where, like, now he is cosplaying himself as a more successful version of himself, which then did actually bring him money such that he could license his name.
But I think Trump was ahead. I think he's always been a little bit ahead of his time, even now, in the way that he understands, like, optics. Mm-hmm. He understands how to give those pictures to people and to make, you know, it's like cosplayers know. They're like, well, I'm not going to exactly become this video game character. But if people who are really good at cosplay and they're really good at making those costumes, they're like, okay, if I were to break down this character, the things that make you recognize them are, like, the shoulder pads, the weapons, and the makeup. And if I can nail those three things, like, you'll buy it, right? And Trump gets it. He's like, in order to cosplay as the president, I need to hold up a lot of binders and I need to sit at a desk with a phone on it. Like, he's really good. He gets those.
He's also very committed to it. Whereas somebody like Delaney just looks like an idiotic thumb up there cosplaying some kind of gravitas public official.
Do they so not understand? But also, like, listen, Trump realized that. But then there's, like, the whole meta layer to it, right? Of, like, Trump didn't realize any of this. But, like, what the Republican Party wanted was someone who could be both at the simultaneously both at the same time. Someone who could sort of play the part of the president, but also that they knew was just playing the part, but in their heart was actually this, like, racist xenophobe who would do awful things in order to get them high paying manufacturing jobs, right? You know, include it, you know, commit war crimes, lock people up indefinitely in internment camps. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, those are the people want what they really want, but they can't say, is someone who will violate human rights and turn America into a fascist state so that they can have a high-paying manufacturing job.
That's a lot. I mean, this is your whole hillbilly elegy bullshit, which is that, like, and you do really feel for people who are featured in those New York Times profiles. That sucks. Like, it's, you know, it's like you say, you always root for, what do you say, root for the wall, not the egg, or the egg, not the wall, right?
Right.
Like, you're always pulling for the underdog. And, like, you certainly feel for these folks, but, like, it's weird how, it is ironic in the extent to which the drive for, on the one hand, these men who used to have what they regarded as, yeah, we're going to look back on this period of like, oh, you could just go to Detroit and get a job making $15 an hour and send your kids to college. We're going to look back at that as a glancingly short period of time. Or you can work in a coal mine.
Well, you could have a job in college and pay for your tuition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah. No, because the thing is, though, everybody's trying to get back to this time that never existed because they're trying to cherry pick all these. Anyway, the point being, you got the men who now feel incredible. They don't want to say it, but the part that kills them is how disempowered they are. And their women, the women in their life, hate seeing them that way. So, of course, they're all going to pull for this guy who seems to be exacting vengeance on what they perceive as the cause of their problems.
But Trump is such a complicated thing to explain. But Trump is like, on the one hand, he's not even good at the cosplay, right? Like, he's so bad at projecting this image of like a competent adult. But that's also what people like about him is that the sloppiness of that he's just barely pretending to be this sort of guy in charge of the system, but that we all know what he's really about, you know.
And you can interpret so many things from him as a wink, whether you're a white nationalist or whether you are a QAnon person. Mm-hmm. You can interpret so many things. I am so into fucking bananas QAnon lately, like all the codes and the counting and the numbers, and it's all so crazy right now. But like, he leaves enough open to the imagination that, like, he's either going to be lauded for being a straight talker who isn't afraid to say what everybody else is thinking, or he's going to be seen as the secret genius who's going to finally do the D-class this week. And you can tell because the number 17 appeared on the screen.
But the fact that we all know that he's just pretending to be president and he's good at staging these photos. He's not good at staging the photos. He's doing the photos in a way where you look at it and you go, he's staging that photo. But it's crazy because it drives us out of our minds. And I go, well, he sucks at this. He's not even good at it in the way that Obama was good at it. That's so appealing to his people. Like, they fucking love that shit. They love it. That's the hogs. They love it.
Yeah, they love to see it. And because it's like, there's nothing worse. And there's been elements of this in every, I mean, I can play act as somebody who's from a lower middle class because that's kind of where I'm from. Let's be honest. I'm from the lower middle class.
Will you do the accent?
I feel very strongly about the Donald Trump. that's an Ohio accent. So sorry.
We should probably move on from this because it's not very funny. But it's the other thing is like, I really don't like this, the take on Twitter. I mean, it pushes my buttons that the sort of accepted take on Twitter is that these people are that, like, what describes them is that they are racists and that they're primarily motivated by doing racism, and that's they wake up every morning and they all go, how can I do the most racist thing? Mm-hmm. And that it certainly looks like that. Like, I understand. It certainly appears that way.
It
like,
looks
I,
like
I get
that.
It.
Yes.
But yeah. I actually don't think it's that. I actually think these people and then those people flip, by the way, they get very offended. They legitimately get very offended when you call them a racist because not the people who belong to Stormfront. I mean, there is a small percentage of them that actually are like primarily motivated by racists, but that's like, I mean, you're talking about like total in the country, like less than 10,000 people, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a, they basically don't exist. And
most people who are legitimately racist are very proud to tell you that they are legitimately racist. Mm-hmm. And setting aside us virtue signaling SJWs who say, oh, well, you're casually racist. Well, no, it's just they like seeing their big wet boy win.
And also, just to be clear, like, they're doing racist actions. It's just that it's not that's a byproduct.
It's not motivated by the desire to be racist.
Right. They are racist, but they're not trying.
Well, yeah. I don't know that. I mean, it depends how you want to slice that thing. But there's the J-Smooth. There's the J-Smooth thing of like, he's like, it's not helpful to tell people they're a racist, but it is helpful to tell people that they're doing a racist action.
Right.
Because when you say to someone you're a racist, they go, right, oh, well, then the die is cast. And so, okay, I guess I might as well be, you know, they have no reason to stop.
This is why sometimes I feel like I'm up against the wall with phrases like homophobia where, like, well, man, homophobia is such a lame word for what's actually happened.
It makes no sense.
Well, because it's one thing to say that you are claustrophobic, where you have a phobia of small places or being enclosed in something. But homophobia used to describe, like, legitimate hatred of the idea of homosexuality and homosexuals is really lame. I mean, that's not homophobia. That's hatred. Like, mm-hmm. call that what it is. And in that same way, like, I mean, with the racism stuff, and this is why I mentioned this a long time ago, and I feel like I sounded like an idiot, but that's what, remember when I said that? Like, what is it that motivates Jeff Sessions at the time? Like, is he really that motivated, or what motivates Mitch McConnell? I think Mitch McConnell likes to win. I think he's just a scrapper who likes to win.
He just must be some sort of sociopath because he, but that's the thing, he has won. Like, what?
Yes.
It's baffling. I don't know. And it's kind of scary to me. He's like the one guy where I'm like, why?
Mm-hmm. I think they want cultural. And I mean, so I think, I know everyone's going to get mad at me for this, but I think these people basically want the same thing we want, which is cultural and economic power. And there's mm-hmm. only so much of that to go around, and someone's going to have it, and there's going to be haves, and there's going to be haves-nots.
But it's a zero-sum game for them, where if somebody else wins a little bit, you feel like you lost a lot.
Well, so here's where I would differ a little bit on that. So the first thing is, it is a zero-sum game. Like, people have cultural and economic power, or they don't, and there is not enough for everyone under our current system, and the system is set up that way. That's how we've got the world set up. But that being said, the reason I think that they fly off the handle is that if you have all of the cultural and economic power and then you lose a little bit, you lose your mind, right? Mm-hmm. Then if you go to a fair distribution, it seems like you're on the bottom.
That could be pronouns. That could be just simply acknowledging that somebody should be allowed to name themselves and say who they are. That by itself is the beginning.
But what is pronoun? Like, all of these battles to me, I'm trying to take a step back and I go, what is pronouns? Like, is that really what we're mad about? Or is it really that you have trans people who have chosen the battlefield of pronouns?
Well, I mean, before you're allowed to buy a house, you have to have a seat at the lunch counter. It's not, none of this stuff happens in
Correct.
One day. And part of it is getting to tell the world who you are rather than being told by other people who you are. And then, you know, it's a new kind of red line.
Well, that's exactly it. And it's like, I don't really think that America like cares that much about pronouns in the same way I don't think America really cared that much about lunch counters. But I think we all, just to say the obvious, like, we all know that this is a proxy battle for a much bigger cultural mm-hmm. war. Like, what we're really talking about is
the only reason I brought up pronouns is that's one where I've arrived at, you know what? It does not cost me fucking anything to call somebody what they want to be called.
Right.
That costs, boy, I'm really virtuous to be able to say that. But it's like, why can't other people just go like, that's not a zero sum game. Like, that for me, like, do I lose culture?
No. It's not that the pronouns are a zero sum game. It's that I think there are people in this country who feel like if there are trans people who can be out and have full human rights, that it threatens their cultural hegemony, that they no longer have complete control over economic and cultural control over over how everything works in America.
If a woman can even be counseled about what to do with a baby in the future,
correct.
That even the idea of that counseling.
Let's talk about abortion. Like, do you think, like, abortion is not about abortion? Abortion is about sex. It's about sex without consequences.
It's about babies third. It's about fetuses second. And it's about women first. It's about being able to fuck with women and their economic viability and their power.
Well, and also
how are we doing, Alex?
It's cultural and economic power, and then it's also this thing of like, oh, women shouldn't be able to have sex without consequences. That's only something that men should be able to have.
I think you guys are talking, not acknowledging that there are two different types of people, like the people who are actually transphobic and fear, like, because they've been raised to fear people who are different and think that, yes, they're going to take my child and molest them behind the dumpster. And then there's uh-huh. Mitch McConnell, who is, yes, if he loses that scrap of power, he dies inside. But that is where, I don't know. It's like, where does this sociopathy begin of like using that fear to have that power? Mm-hmm. And then but then actually having that fear.
Like, when is it tribalism versus,
when,
like,
is when it is tribalism? It? When is it? Because there are people who are genuinely afraid of black people and genuinely afraid of gay people, and it's absolutely, absolutely insane. And the Mitch McConnell, he doesn't not want women to have power because he doesn't give a fuck. He wants himself to have power. But there are,
Alex, it's hard. It's hard for me to believe. Do you really think that, like, a lot of Americans think that trans people will molest their children? Or do you think that they don't want trans people to have rights? And in order for them to achieve that political goal, they're going to say whatever they need to say. And one of those things is, oh, I'm worried.
That's what I'm saying. These are two different types of people. There are people mm-hmm. who, if there weren't people who truly, absolutely believed that, and that number is shrinking, and they're real, like, every day that number shrinks. But also then the number of grows of, like, oh, if I say this, I can get more people to believe me. I can get more people in my tribe. But if that that inherent fear wasn't there, what would how would it start? You know, like, you're not going
to. But like TERFs to me is a good example of this, because, like, the TERFs don't believe any. I don't think they believe any of this stuff about trans people. I think they just feel like, oh, well, if trans people get full rights, then we lose. Then our little corner of the movement loses some power.
Exactly. But there's like patient zero, right? Like, there's someone who comes up.
So you're sort of saying, like, you couldn't fake that kind of strong feeling unless it came from somewhere.
I truly don't think that you could, if it did not start somewhere, mm-hmm. that.
So when you say fear, it's not like fear as in catching a cold. It's fear of Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
That kind of fear.
Yeah. It's.
I think part of the fear is, to the extent that it's real, which I'm not 100% sure about, part of the fear is that, have you seen that clip? I retweet it occasionally, but it's I can't remember her name, but it's the woman who was like a lecturer about racism. And she said, how many white people in this room would like to be treated how this country treats black folks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? No one raises their hand. And she goes, the fact that no one raises your hand tells me, you know, exactly. We all know exactly what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that to the extent that people fear, like, trans people, black people, any of these, you know, Muslims, immigrants, any of these minority groups, part of the fear is bound up in the way of, like, you see how poorly society treats them, and then you're like, well, if they get power, I'll be treated that way, and I can't bear that.
Yeah, when people say that, what they're really saying is, I don't want to become the other that I perceive them as.
There's sort of a third group, though, because there's all of those people who it's not that they don't like black people and they don't want to be treated like them. And we all know what we're talking about. But there's it's like there are all these people who it's like, oh, yeah, I'm not racist. But if your kid dates a black person, oh, God. Oh, I'm fine with
I'm just being
people.
Practical.
Yeah. I mean,
I just don't want their life to be difficult.
Merlin, that's like the total truth. Like, my parents, like, it's totally fine. But then when you realize what your kid is going to have to live with, mm-hmm. that's kind of the part. I do think that parents many truly were afraid. Not some definitely are afraid of, like, some trans person, like, raping their kid behind a trash can. But they are more afraid of they're somehow going to be convinced, oh, yeah, this dancing and stuff, that's cool. That's an awesome lifestyle. And then their child loses power. And
we've got ourselves set up in a way where it's, where if you have a lot, it's amazing. And if you don't have a lot, it's hell. It's awful. It's untenable. And we all kind of know that. We all kind of fear being on the wrong side of that. And I think that's explaining everything you said. When people are like, oh, well, I'm not a racist, but I wouldn't want my daughter to date a black guy. What they're saying is, like, right now we're on top and I don't want her to take any action that would result on her moving that far down. And to me, it's like, well, on the one, you know, it's like, yeah,
I'm not saying that's right, but it is rooted in fear.
No, well, right. But all I'm saying is, like, it's the dad who says that, right? Like, yeah. It's not motivated by the fact that he hates black people and he wakes up every day going, how can I oppress black people? It's that he's scared of the unjustness in the world, which is a real thing. It's really scary. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm scared of that.
You don't think it's partly that he just wants to keep up property values? You know what I mean? That sense of, like, no. I mean,
no,
as in,
I know
I don't
what you're
hate,
saying. Yeah, I agree.
I don't hate black people. Well, meaning this, as soon as the black people start moving into my neighborhood, that starts affecting me. Not because I hate black people, because I want to retain my home value.
But this whole like fundamental like cultural and economic like inequity, the piece that I'm talking about, like one of the big tools there is property values. Like we've put a number on it. Mm-hmm. So that it can be measured and we can be scared of, we can have a proxy war. Like that's the lunch counters of, I don't want where I live to lose cultural and economic power. I'm just saying like a lot, like I don't even know why we originally got it. I can't even remember the thing that originally got us talking about this, but it's just, to me, I think all this, to take a step back, like the whole reason I brought this up, and this is, to be clear, all going to be edited out.
What? No! Did you guys read about Gia Tolentino's dog, Luna?
No.
Who?
You should read about it. Gia Tolentino, the woman who writes for The New Yorker. She's really good. And they did a feature in Jezebel about her dog, Luna. Yeah. It's really good. It's really good.
Why isn't there an article about my cat? I'm a famous podcaster.
She has described this in 2018. Luna was the subject of a New Yorker radio hour, very good show, in which Tolentino called her, quote, an objectively bad dog. And she jumps on people, but she's a sweet, precious angel. She's a Pyrenees a Pyrenees mixed with a border collie. Ooh, that's going to be a handful.
You know what? Let's give her the challenge.
I'm going to send you this. You got to check out this dog. It's a very high quality dog.
So the challenge this week was my challenge, and I picked a challenge submitted by a friend of the show, John, the other one. And John's challenge was, you instead of using one big towel, use two small towels. And he sent us a really nice email with some clarifying information. And basically what he said is he does not get fully dry from one towel. And so by using like one towel, and then that towel absorbs the first level of, you know, it's like it's like when the ants need to cross a river and they just throw themselves into the water and then they walk over their corpses.
Oh, like Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Game of Thrones. Human wave. Human wave, right? It's like you're sacrificing the first towel so that the second towel can actually dry you off. And I follow the logic there. And then he also said he gets the towels get like mildewy, and they, you know, one big towel kind of never fully dries. And I get where you'd have that problem if you lived in like LA or a tropical climate or Florida or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, did you guys try this? Were you into it?
I want to just mention in passing, I had a friend also named John in college. I was closer friends with his roommate, Chris. Hi, Chris Coldren, if you're out there. But John always said that Chris would be like, why are there so many towels in the bathroom? And he says, I get wetter than other people. And Chris always thought that was an odd thing to say, but I like your friend John. I think there are people. Let's put it another way. I don't know if they are empirically, scientifically wetter than other people, but I think there are people who would prefer a higher level of dry. And I think he's on the right track with this. Like, you treat yourself to two towels. I think that's nothing wrong with that.
Now, here's the other thing. I have a lot to say about towels, probably not enough time on the podcast to get into it, but most towels are really bad. Mm-hmm. Like the amount of, when I go to my friends' houses and I stay with my friends and their towels suck so much ass. Like they don't dry you out.
It's like pillows where people think you want a soft pillow. You don't want a soft pillow. You want a
give me a hole.
Hard pillow. Yes. Hard pillow, hard towel. You want a towel that will just.
Wait, the hello? What's that called?
Hello.
The beans? Hello, give me the bean pillow.
I want a towel that'll damage me. I want a towel that puts a hurting on me. I want it to really.
Yeah. So what you want? You want
soft
like one
towel.
Of those,
give me a
one of those
break.
Looped, one of those like looped cotton towels, and that really, that those are great.
Looped.
They have the little loops on them.
Looped.
The little micro loops, and they're made of cotton.
Oh, you don't mean it's like I thought you meant like a Moebius towel.
Oh no no.
Okay. All right.
No. I mean like a.
But like, you know, honestly, hotel towels can be great because they've been washed so many times. All the softness is out, and now there's just raw scraping dryness potential.
Yeah, you got to get all the softness.
Oh man, you get in there with some Dial soap and then finish yourself off with one of those towels. God, take a layer of skin off. Now you're clean for a minute, but just a minute.
Oh boy.
You're dirty inside, and you carry that with you.
I don't have this problem. I get fully dry from one towel. And so the two small towels versus one big towel did not help me. And based on my life and my bathroom, my towels do dry. Well, lately, actually, to be fair, since the entire time we've had this challenge, I've been living in hotel rooms, and I just throw my, because I care about the earth, yes. I throw my towels on the ground.
How about you? How wet are you, Alex? Do you really do you need to really get in there?
All right. Here, some people do get wetter, and it's because of hair thickness. Like my hair.
Oh, boy. You should start a podcast with Syracuse where you can talk about your hirsuteness.
Well, he talks about the bot. I'm talking about the upstairs. Not like he is just a fuzzy man. From what I've seen, actually, no. You really need to get on Instagram just to see the pictures that Syracuse takes and the pictures taken of Syracuse because he is very much a snack man. He is a handsome man.
He's like a thirst trap account.
He really does. Anyway,
the Syracuse is becoming an Instagram thought.
Is he
a mood? Okay, how will you know? Will you know if he's a mood right now?
I don't know.
What if he's everything? Could he be everything?
Very possible.
He could be a mood. He's a snack. He's a snack man.
He's number one thing.
I would say that I can't even. I can't even with him.
You can't even with him. Oh, that's a shame.
All right.
Oh, he's everything right now.
I need to find this. Okay, anyway, the issue I've always had with towels is they are... I don't get them that wet except for one particular spot, which is the hair spot, the head area. And it's just like the middle of my towel is basically sopping wet, and then the rest, no problem, getting dry. But there are very few challenges that have changed my life. But this one, two medium towels, you've got one hair towel and then one, I only need a small towel for the rest. So basically, I like take the big soppy, like not the big, but the medium sized soppy towel. And that goes on the good, like the space in my bathroom where something will actually dry because I'm a monster and usually like use a new towel every day because I hate dolphins. Mm-hmm. But now, no, like everything is fully dry and then it's like fluffy and new. So I have been using two medium sized like hand towels and especially because in hotels and I haven't wanted housekeeping or anything like that. There's a lot more small towels than big towels, which doesn't make sense, but it has worked out for me. So this was a great challenge. Although
good challenge.
The results were not what I expected. Like I don't get too wet all over.
I don't know. You have such a short haircut. It's strange to me that your hair gets
exactly.
generates that much water.
It was fucking hell. It was hell, Merlin. It was,
which part
was
hell?
So bad. Having long hair. Sorry. You've triggered me now. Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
Do you ever have nightmares about hair?
Yeah. Hair. No. My hair. No, not really.
What
happens
in
your night? If you can say, what happens in your hair nightmares?
Oh no, I just have
night hairs.
I literally have nightmares about my hair growing back and being very long. And apparently, this is also a very common dream for like a lot of queer women because it's like going back to that period. But lots of men have it too, and I don't know why. I don't like having a lot of hair. It's too much.
You know how like at a bachelorette party, sometimes they have a penis shaped cake.
Yes.
The other night, I had a dream about a cake-shaped penis.